Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 126 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Everybody.
Hello.
Why does my Coke sound like it's fizzling the fire?
Fizzy, yeah. Just ignore it, dear listener.
Is there something wrong with the atmosphere?
It's the production quality that I think our listeners appreciate the most.
I think it is, yeah.
Yes, yes.
We constantly...
Anyway, it's a topic show, and one that I was sketching around a bit for and couldn't think of anything big and substantial and weighty, so I've got a couple of little miniature ideas here.
Oh, excellent.
And hopefully serve you too.
I'm sure I will do.
Right, okay. So, what do you want to go for first? Do you want 18 out of 50 or pies are hard?
18 out of 50.
It's like a game show, this.
18 out of 50.
18 out of 50.
Can I ask a friend?
Okay. No, you can't phone a friend. You've used all your lifelines. Yes, right. So there I was, you know, playing my usual games. Checked on the old Mumble server and I found them all in the Guild Wars room on the Mumble server.
What are they doing in there?
I don't know. They were playing Guild Wars, damn it. So I logged in and said hello and stuff. And it turns out quite a lot of resurgent interest in Guild Wars. Guild Wars 1, this is, of course, not Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2 is not out.
Exactly. It's a game that I played quite conscientiously for quite some time. I think 3 or 4 years. I think some of my characters are coming up for their 5th birthday presents. I don't know. I've sunk a lot of time into that game. Enjoyed all that time immensely. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been playing at all. That's like a couple of months ago. I decided that we could really do with a break, and yeah, I've since analysed this and chatted to Multi there about it, and it was entirely to do with a bad run of luck where for about 4 weeks running we ended up doing the same missions on the same campaign because various people had turned up and wanted some help.
Shocking.
To get through it. I know. I don't mind. I'm there to help other people. I like helping the members of the guild out, and it's a very very sort of social thing. But yeah, that sort of blew my fuse a bit somewhat, and so I hung the game up and have wandered off. This was more or less coincidental with EverQuest 2's free-to-play thing coming up, so I jumped over to there and have been pottering around in there since. So I haven't really been back to Guild Wars in a while. But suddenly I find myself driven to play it again, and somewhat beyond my will as well. Because they've got the big Guild Wars 2 rewards calculator.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, you might be thinking, I recognise that concept. If they play a game in a certain way and do a certain number of things that are really quite difficult and quite grindy, we'll give them some arbitrary made-up points and they can have a thing that goes up on a table and they can get extra unlock things.
I am behind this feature.
Yeah, I thought you might be nodding. Yeah, so it's basically achievements have come to Guild Wars.
Huzzah!
Yes. long before time as well. And so I thought, oh, go on then, I'll have a look. And that was my downfall. They got a website there. You go to guildwars2.com. There's a middle button on there, little flicky flash, little sideways scrolly picture thing. Takes you to a calculator where you can type in your character name and it will tell you how many of the monumental achievements you've managed, which will then be totted up and calculated and transferred across to...
And where did you say it was?
Guildwars.com. So you're looking up your... Have you got characters in Guild Wars?
I've got characters in Guild Wars.
This ought to be good. This ought to be quite good for my self-esteem. Yeah, see that middle there, that flash thing?
There.
You just click the middle pip. Yeah, that's the one. Click in the middle.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah. This is great radio. Click there. And here we are. Right, type your name, your character name in the top. Can you remember what it is? It's the same one you always use, isn't it?
Yeah.
Full name. Did you have two words? Or
possibly.
One? You might have, well, try that. But anyway, I tapped in my character, what I consider to be my main, the one I've been running the guild with and all the rest of it and doing all the high-end achievements and stuff. Do you know what my score was? 18
what?
Out of 50.
Apparently, I can't remember what my character name was.
You don't even exist. That's how bad you did. Yeah. You'll type Vivian Hemlock in there, then. That's my character's name.
Okay.
You'll be able to see actually, you'll be able to see the even worse shameful secret. He now reads 19 out of 50.
Wow.
Yes, you see, I'm always taking the mick out of you for being a bit of an achievement hunter, to put it politely.
I may have
wasn't the phrase I was initially going to use
on occasion.
Yes, and I always thought, I'm above such things. I'm somewhat aloof. Anyway, it reads 19 out of 50 now after a somewhat grindstacular Thursday night. I found myself drawn into it all. And I don't know why. See, along the top there, you got your reward meter.
Yeah.
Which fills up as you go along.
There's one at 20.
Yeah, there's one at 20. Well, there's one at every box up to 30. Rainbow jellyfish. A spineless aquatic companion for your ranger, which I have no intention of being in the new game, but there you go.
So what else have you won now? You've won the stars, Black Mower.
The stars give you titles, which you'll be able to...
Oh, or your baby chicken.
...display for all to see at the in the next game, and people will basically...
Fiery Dragon Sword.
I'd be fascinated to see in Guild Wars 2 how many people are running around with these titles, and how many people are not, you know what I mean. Either who just don't choose to display them, or who have never played Guild Wars 1, because that would be a fantastic indication of is this a game... purely for people interested who were in the first game, or is this trying to bring
rangers.
In new people?
I know, it's all, for everyone or rangers?
It's all ranger pets. Well, I'm wondering, because I don't think they've announced the entire class lineup yet, so there might be other stuff for classes we don't know yet. But yeah, so here I am, suddenly with the looking at the wrong end of an achievement list, which I normally don't take part in, even on the 360. I'll fill in a few ones that are obviously easy, just so that I can have some semblance of a points score, but I don't generally try and 100% any Xbox games. And now here we are, a game that I suppose Ultra really have cared about an awful lot. I mean, my initial reaction was, my God, only 18 out of 50 for, what, 6 years' worth of play?
It's not good.
It's not great. I think most people are deeming 30 to be the score that's achievable in realistic terms.
Really?
Well, if you look at the calculator there, the it goes up to 30 along the top for the reward list. And that dot, dot, dot there, if you click on that, there you go. There's the remaining 20 ranks, and you don't get anything for those except titles.
Ghostly Hero. Yeah. Flame Seeker.
Yeah.
Legend of the Mists. And Champion of the Gods.
Champion of the Gods, 50 points out of 50. And it's not casual. They've done it very cleverly. What they've done is it's a kind of diminishing returns system. You'll get 1 point for doing one thing. You get another point for doing another of that similar sort of thing. You'll get 3 points for doing perhaps two or three of those things. But from there on, you only get 1 point for five, one, then do 10 of the things, and you get another point and 20 and so on. So the more you struggle and grind away at it, the less you're likely to actually... Well, the harder it is to increment your score.
Yes.
I mean, they divided it into... These five items, these five categories here, basically at the monuments in your Hall of Monuments. There's five great stands there, and the more things you put on each stand, the more things you get. So the first... So you've got five categories. Devotion is for mini pets. Now, that you get mini pets by having a character not been deleted for a year.
Okay.
Every year you get a birthday present appear in your inventory. You double-click it and it turns out to be one of these mini pets. And there's a sliding scale of rarities available. It's very much potluck. Or you can buy them off other players, and there's a huge, huge internal market. Asgard's your expert there. He's very much into the collection of those. He's got an enormously impressive mini pet collection. I imagine he's probably got the 50 miniature statues on this section ticked in. So,
whoa, yeah. Way better than you.
Way better than me. As you can see, I only have the 3 points off of this. I've got 13 pets, I think. And you've got to dedicate those in the Hall of Monuments. And once that's been done, that's like binding and piece of equipment. You can sell a dedicated mini pet to another player, but they then can't bind it in their Hall of Monuments. So,
yeah.
So the whole dedication thing's a one-shot job, which is going to play absolute havoc with the internal Guild Wars economy over the next coming year. I mean, Guild Wars 2 is not actually out until...
Is it possible to hollow grind these?
Well, basically, the only way you can grind these is by making sure all of your character slots have a character created in them, and then just leave that character there.
Oh, yeah.
Guild Wars 2, what, out for another year?
Yeah, at least.
At least. So between now and Guild Wars 2, you have the opportunity to get one more mini pet per character. And I think if you've got all the expansions, you have about 7 slots. You can buy more slots. So, but yeah, that's very much a waiting game. Yeah. Or you can go in there and start spamming trade chats and
Or you can hatch accounts.
Chats. Yeah, clean people's accounts out using nefarious means. Yeah, you buy undedicated pets off other players for vast amounts of in-game money. And that will go up as this has all been revealed. Suddenly these pets have a purpose. So that's going to make the money, the cost of them go massively through the roof. What are we looking at here? Fellowship. This is your heroes. The unlockable heroes that you encounter as you go through the plot. They're basically super henchmen. They... With more customizable options.
You're one off getting the next level.
I know. Now, to get the hero dedicated in your Hall of Monuments, you have to complete the challenge missions, which are scattered throughout either North and Nightfall,
yeah,
which are sort of side missions with like mini games in. One of them's that Pac-Man game where you're a siege worm and have to eat beetles and stuff. There's a few more straightforward ones that you have to just go. Hey, what are we looking at there? Oh yeah.
And just see what you'll get when you get what when I get, you yeah, chose, after you grind
my,
that out
my
this
chosen
week.
Title. I know. Well, I'm going to have to do some more of those. Some of them are quite tricky. Some of them are a bit easier. But the drop rate on these rare pieces of armor, which you then take to the NPC, and then though is quite low. And those actually unlock new cosmetic outfits for the NPCs. The stats don't change at all. They're not required for gameplay at all. Once you've done that, you can then dedicate them in the hall, and you'll get extra points on the fellowship. So a lot of grinding on the outposts, the challenge mission outposts for these.
Those sound doable for you, though.
Well, they sound doable, yeah. Particularly the lower-end ones. I mean, there are epic challenge missions that you can get.
So you might not get all 30?
No, well, some of the unobtained items down the side there, there are things like Black Widow, Spider, Imperial Phoenix, and Black Mirror. Those are actually rare ranger pets, which also count and have their own statues in this list. That's how I got my 18 to 19 that very night, was to rush out to Ferndale in the Echovold Forest and with a ranger secondary and charmed a black mower as a pet. And that charms at level 20, which means it instantly qualifies. You have to get the pet to level 20 for it to appear on this list. So that's a quick extra point if anyone's not already gone and done that.
So are there any others you can get that way?
The Black Widow Spider is in the Underworld. We actually did some guild outings for that not so long ago, and we had no hope of actually completing the Underworld because it takes...
But you might get a spider this time.
Well, the spider is always there and it's easy to grab. I mean, the trouble is there's only one spider, so only one member of the party at a time can do it, and then you have to reset the whole place and try it again. It takes about an hour or two to get
so
there.
So you shouldn't be telling people on a podcast what you're doing.
Within the party, I mean. Yeah, but... So that one's reasonably doable if you're fairly top end. Imperial Phoenix, you have to beat Shiro at the very end of Factions.
That sounds easy.
Well, the Imperial Phoenix is a tameable creature who's in the end game end credits room of Factions.
Oh, yeah.
So you just need to knock Shiro on his arse. It takes about 5 minutes if you've already completed that campaign. Earthbind Ritualist to do that, very good. Mox, I don't know how you get Mox's armour. I'll have to look that one up. But all the rest of them are heroes who have armour pieces that are available in the challenge missions throughout the thing.
Yeah.
So, I've got three more I can get there. But, one more hero's armour will get me 1 point for the 10, and then I've got to do 10 more.
Yeah.
And that's going to get grindtacular pretty quickly.
Okay, do you want the next?
What else? This is the main one, Honour.
Honour.
Honor is the super maxed out titles. I've got a few here. I know the 3 points are there. You get 3 points towards Guild Wars 2 out of your 50 for getting one PvP statue, which
no chance.
Is not going to happen. No, not in my case.
How do you get the statues?
They're for titles. Over on the unobtained items list there, you'll see Eternal, this, that, and the other. There's various different titles. Some of them are the top ones there. Champion, Commander, Gladiator, etc. Those are for PvP victories. Fame points is an entirely internal. There's like a tally you get for winning so many team arenas in a row and that sort of thing. Very grindy, and you've got to be good at PvP or in a pre-made
team.
Can you
game the matchmaking?
That is exactly what most people have been trying to do to this game for the last 6 years. So I think ArenaNet are pretty much on top of the mechanisms. I mean, they completely removed hero battles because it was just being gamed so much. Yeah. They took it out.
Boosting
of the game.
Sessions is the.
They've gotten rid of random arenas entirely. Harsh. Harsh PvP, that game, and especially this late in its life, people are either really, really good at it or don't
do it. What's the accounts linked thing?
Accounts linked. Oh, I think you link your account to the tournament guy in the Great Temple of Balthazar, and that sort of makes you eligible then for team two PvP tournaments. Not something I've explored a lot, but I did talk to the guy and accidentally clicked a thing.
Well, I got you 3 points.
Yeah, and I 3 points. Accounts. I've only got one account. I don't know what that really means. Anyway, let's see. We've got there's PvE titles. The Protector and Hero titles there on the top that I've actually got. Those are for completing all the campaigns.
Okay.
You know, the Nightfall, Prophecies, and Factions, just finishing them. You get a title for each of those. You also get the Protector title for finishing the campaigns and all of the secondary objectives or master's completions, depending on where you are. So that's like super completion with all the side objectives. Done all three of those. See, I'm such a PV player.
Now, looking at some of the others, there's Cartographer and Skill Hunter.
Cartographer's something that is doable if you've got
the
patience.
Is that the filling in the map?
That's the uncovering the entire map. You've got to get 100% coverage. Now, they're a little bit kind in that each map provides about 105% worth of points if you really went at it. So there's a little bit of leeway of stuff you don't have to look at, but most of it you do have to do. And it's so difficult as well. This is where you start getting people using TextMod, which is a program that lets you extract textures and replace textures. And one method I saw was to extract the texture of the world map that you've uncovered, download a world map of a 100% uncovered one, and then compare the two as layers in Photoshop with the exclusion or difference filter, I can't remember which one, and that will then show you in white and black which areas you've still not quite got.
There you go. That's funny.
Yeah, and the download the full high-quality map is like about, I don't know, it's a ridiculously huge JPEG. So, yeah, it takes a lot of fiddling about with. It's not something you're ever going to do by accident, these cartographer titles.
Well, you're going to be doing them.
No, Skill Hunter, that basically consists of working through a big old list off the wiki and just going out to each of these named monsters in turn and using the signet of capture on them, making sure you have the appropriate presence. It's something I have actually been working at. This is way before this chart all came out, but it's something I was working at anyway, just for the hell of it, because I like collecting the pretty pictures. I like icons.
Yeah.
I have an icon fetish. But those are two I could more or less see myself sort of doing eventually. There's faction grind titles there as well. You get bounties from NPCs that will give you faction points per kill when you have them active, and there's a number of different factions in game, all of those. These all contribute to the kind of a big deal title track, which is like a meta title track that bundles up all the other titles. You need 5 titles to get the title kind of a big deal.
Okay.
And there's other great titles along there. God Walking Among Mere Mortals, I think, is the top of it. Our personal favourite, My Guild Hall Smells of Rich Mahogany. It's an actual title that will appear under you if you have a certain rank in that, yeah. Most of these there's stuff there. Alehound, that's the drunkard title track. You need to be intoxicated in-game for 2,000 hours real-time. Each drink will cost you about a platinum or something from a vendor, and it will last 2 minutes. Yeah, that's
2,000 hours at real-time?
I think so, yeah. Something like that. It's an astronomically ridiculous amount of time you've got to have your character drunk for to get that one. I mean, some of them are easier than others. And also you notice the diminishing returns there. They've got 10, 15, 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can get... I mean, I've got 8 points just by getting 5 statues there of any sort. 5 titles. And those include the just you have completed the normal PvE campaign on normal mode. There's like Defender of Ascalon. I think that's the death leveling. I don't even know how that would contribute, because you can't get to the Hall of Monuments if you're in pre-searing. That's the one you get by being in the newbie area, never leaving and death leveling monsters.
Would you have to do that and then do it afterwards?
I don't know. Maybe it unlocks for an account. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There's a lot of craziness in there.
Good news of that. You've got 7 of them and you've got 46 remaining.
46 to
but
go.
But you only need 40 in total. So there's quite a few days.
I don't have to get. I think 6 of them are probably impossible, like that Defender of Ascalon thing. I don't know. Some of them are mutually exclusive, I'm thinking. But yeah. Eternal Fortune. That's the every so often. That's the lucky title track. That's anything where you. you involved in a game of chance on a festival. There's like the Xingzhe Boardwalk where there's 9 rings. You have to stand, you pay a ticket and you stand in a ring and it rolls a random number. If your number comes up, you get more tickets back. I've seen people spend days stood there because there's an unlucky title as well. So it doesn't matter what, if you win or lose, you're getting points towards one or the other. I know, it's ridiculous. We've got the other tabs there. There's an armor tab.
Okay, let's have a look at the armor tab.
The armor tab's easier enough.
Oh, only 8.
Yeah, there's only 8 to get there. But there's
20 in total.
Oh, you get points towards this for elite armor sets. These are the cosmetic ones that cost 15k platinum and involve rare materials that provide you no more stats than if you'd had the non-elite version. So entirely cosmetic armors, some of them very difficult to get indeed. You get special extra points for getting Kurzic, Vabian and Obsidian because they involve particularly difficult to find and rare materials. In the case of the Vabian, just damned expensive. The Obsidian, you've got to go through an underworld endgame instance to find the guy who even makes it, and also the rare materials drop in there. It's madness, it really is. Same with the Kurzic or Luxon. You get amber chunks or jade chunks, which you can only buy off of an NPC for like 5,000 faction points, which will take you God knows how long to grind it.
Let's assume you're going to get all 8 of those.
Not really, no. I could probably, I'd probably stretch to the 5 armor statues there, because it's just the vast amount of money. I think 75 platinum plus material costs for just any of the norm. I think for the Kurzik one that you got highlighted there. So, yeah, I'm not really that involved in the Guild Wars economy. It's not a game where you really worry about money generally, so suddenly having to buy all this stuff.
Oh, weapons, you've only got one of them.
The weapons, again, they all come from endgame instances. The destroyer stuff you can just buy, I suppose, if you've got enough materials and cash from the lobby of the Slaver's Exile place. The tormented stuff comes from the Domain of Anguish. You need to farm, you're not just complete, get enough gemstones of each of 4 different types to trade for a coffer, which is a random thing that, yeah, it just goes mad. It's and Domain of Anguish, we only done one arm of that and we had to cheat to make that work.
How did you cheat?
We got one of the bosses bugged on some scenery, so that was good. We would never have got through it otherwise. We tried one of the other wings and we just got absolutely murdered straight away. I mean, we're well into the realm of stupid gimmick builds now and very particular party stuff. The oppressor stuff, I'm quite hopeful about that, because that, I think, is the culmination of the current war interior bridging content that I've not actually seen. I had a little start of that the other day while I was in there wondering how best to rank this up desperately. And so I found myself starting on the war interior. I'll talk more about that than what we're playing, but that looks interesting, and it's content I haven't seen yet as well, so I should be grateful for it, to be honest. But yeah, the oppressor items come from the end of that, I think. So that seems a bit more manageable. I don't know what the end of the war interior is like, whether it gets super hardcore at the far end or not. As Guy was saying, it gets a bit hectic for just soloing, but once there's a couple of us all up there,
it'll be even more hectic.
It'll be even more hectic, yeah. Execute Starburst Formation. Yeah, so yeah. There you go. So I'm currently now at 19 out of 50, after a quick, easy point, I thought I knew where
there's
to get.
There's a couple of other relatively easy ones,
There's some stuff. There's stuff there I can do if I put some time in.
And there's
an
awful lot of stuff there which isn't doable.
There's a lot of stuff in there. Well, it's doable. There's a lot of stuff in there I will never get done before Guild Wars 2 comes out. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I wonder, also, does this stuff, I'd have to look it up, but does this stuff only qualify for the launch, for creating new characters? Or can you be playing Guild Wars 1 in parallel with Guild Wars 2 and be earning missing points there? Is it close after a certain time?
It's a good question.
I don't know. I find myself feeling a bit pressured into it, though. That's the thing. I found myself, I don't really want to be playing this game, but there's stuff that I... And it's not even the stuff. It's more of a sense of, have I wasted my time playing Guild Wars 1?
Apparently. Know? You've only 19 out
I'm
of
only
50.
19 out of 50. I mean, you stop getting goodies after 30 and it just becomes titles from there to 50. And I think probably, I don't know, most people's opinion seems to be that if you can get to 30, that's a reasonable accounting of yourself.
I would like to put forward the concept that these free pets and titles are worthless.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be made obsolete within the first... What we understand, Guild Wars 2 is going to be a bit of a level game, a bit of a gear game, which traditionally Guild Wars 1 so isn't.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how much of that stuff that you're going to get given is going to just be cosmetic or obsolete very quickly. Does it matter at all anyway?
But everyone's going to be floating around with their jellyfish or...
Rainbow jellyfish at 20 points.
Yeah. Or
White Raven or... Yeah. Well, that's just the Ranger pets as well.
Where's the next pet? Okay, the Rock Fur Raccoon.
At 21 points out of 50, yeah.
Yeah, everyone will have that. And
and I won't.
And just, but no one's going to know you don't have it.
And no one, I wonder how many people... Is there going to make a massive campaign of awareness so that you can show people the correct amount of respect when they run past very quickly with some indefinable animal in tow? Yeah, I don't know.
So it's all worthless.
Well, I think these things are worthless. It's like I say, it's not the goodies and the unlocks of different stuff that they're going to give you. It's more that, you know, here is what we, ArenaNet, believe you ought to have done in our game in the time you've had, you know? They must be setting these as... Well, certainly up to 30 points. I don't imagine I'd be surprised if anyone gets 50, but I suppose loads of people have got 50 already.
Yeah. Does this do the... There's two reasons for having achievements.
It's yanked my chain.
Two reasons for having achievements. One is to show you that you haven't done things.
Possible.
And the other way is to show other people that you haven't done things.
Yeah, yeah, the sort of positive and the negatives of the system.
Or,
yeah.
Or show other people that you have done them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bragging rights.
Yeah, so there's the online bragging rights, but there's also the whole gentle nudging into various bits of the content.
Will I care this more be about the first than the second, yeah. I mean, I don't give a toss if anyone doesn't realise, you know, sees I'm not a chosen amongst gods, amongst mortals or whatever, but, you know, I'll just play and get on with my game and play with my friends and enjoy it for what it is. But it's the, yeah, I suppose you're right. It's the nagging sensation that I perhaps have missed things I yeah. might otherwise enjoy that I never thought of trying.
On the Xbox and the PS3, that is one of the reasons why achievements and trophies
we
are used.
Achievement discussion before, yeah, and it's generally used well. They guide players through areas of gameplay that possibly they might have missed. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of looking at all this list. I mean, because they always promised that the Hall of Monuments was going to be relevant right from the word go with Eye of the North about, yeah. I don't know, a year ago now? Something like that.
Two?
Getting on, yeah. Yeah, it was always this sort of faint assumption that it would be somehow useful in the sequel, and now here we're seeing how and why. And yeah, I'm just finding myself, I don't know, I'm finding myself playing Guild Wars again, let's put it that way, when I thought I'd hung it up. Anytime
Big
I'm
tick
out,
in the job done
yeah,
column
exactly,
then.
Exactly, exactly. And I imagine this is doing this for a great many other people who'd quit long time ago but who had enjoyed it in their time. They're looking at these, they're putting their name in the box at the top there and they're going, oh, crikey, look, I missed that and that and that. So perhaps it's a positive thing, I don't know. Of course, you know, there were other MMOs I was thinking of signing up for or starting to play in the coming months, but now, no, Guild Wars is back on the roster, so...
Yeah.
But then Guild Wars is a free-to-play, so that suits me economically. So, yeah, I found myself wound up quite a bit by the 18 out of 50. Yeah, I tweeted and all sorts, and I just thought, I don't know, you know, the amount of time and effort I've put into this game, I ought to have been higher by now, you know. I wasn't even going to care at all, but I thought on a whim I'll just see how well I did. That's sort of how I'm seeing it, is how well did you do? You know, you've been playing Guild Wars for how long, and what have you got to show for yourself? And here we are.
The problem is it's an arbitrary subpar list of things.
Well,
and it's an arbitrary list of mainly endgame things.
It's mostly endgame, yeah. Much of this stuff you won't get very early on. Anyone starting Guild Wars now will be hard-pressed to
again,
fill
two,
their 30 by the
There's two
end
types
of, the
of achievements. There's the important, difficult endgame plot stuff, and then there's the little whimsical ones.
Yeah, well, I think this represents both. I mean, you'll notice back in the middle tab, the one for the title list, where you've got 18 points available, and I've only got 8. But those 8 are largely built up out of you have done the story we have laid before you.
Yeah.
Type achievements. You know, I've got to the end, ding, 20 points, you know, or 20 Gs or whatever you get in Xbox games. Typically, if you finish the story, you'll get quite a sizable chunk. It would range from 20 to 50 usually. I think I saw 100 once. I can't remember what that was, but I was quite surprised.
Was it
Fable 2? I don't know.
There have been more 150, 200 in games as well.
Yeah, out of however many there are allowed to allocate, 1,000 generally?
You get a
substantial waiting for doing the thing they've made in the way they hoped.
If you go through and complete any game, you'll get between, I'd say, 250 and 500-600 points just for doing the game, depending on the game.
But I don't know, I just sort of find myself wanting to... It reminds me a bit of when you were talking about your Breen Star Trek officer for Star Trek Online, where it's... We've got a limited window to get a thing done that I probably should have done anyway, and would be kicking myself if I missed this opportunity. You know,
wouldn't be though. If I didn't have my Breen Bridge Officer, I just wouldn't have a Breen Bridge Officer.
But you did it then, and didn't just
put
it off.
And it got me back in the game.
Yeah, it got you back in the game exactly
because these things work. We are that predictable.
I mean, we got quite a lot longer to get this done, but I don't know. I mean, I wonder. It is an impetus to get more Guild Wars time in, and I'm sure. Well, many of these titles here are going to require a competent group as well. So I think
guild then.
It will. I think it will revitalise the guild.
Find a new guild.
Find a new guild. I don't think so.
Manager. I've heard you guys.
We have fun above all else.
Exactly.
Of course,
that's where you're failing.
Yeah, we're having too much fun. This isn't going to get us our 50 points. It's going to be our new catchphrase, I'm sure. But I don't know. I'm at once annoyed and sort of admiring
this,
of this system.
Means.
It works.
Achievements do work. Can mock them, and people mock them all the time, but people can mock achievements as much as they want, but they are proven to work.
I'm one of the most cynical refuseniks I know, and here I am back into a game I thought I'd given up.
All they are is goals, and we all like goals.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and it maybe get to the max level cap in a game, that's a goal. Mm. Or get this gear, that's a goal. And achievements give you goals for other smaller things.
Yeah, I mean, I'd been using the skill hunter thing as a kind of goal, but it never really had a point or, yeah. or a time
Yeah,
if
a goal
even.
Has a point, that's even better.
Mm, that makes it more compelling. So, yeah, there we go. So, and you can't even remember your character name.
I can't remember. And I haven't put anything in the Hall of Heroes anyway, so I'm getting
Good point. You probably never even made it there. You have to have Eye of the North to even unlock the place.
I don't think I've got any of them anyway. Are there any just for creating a character, getting to about level 16
maybe
and getting
bored?
That's
what accounts linked means for the 3 points there.
It's interesting. If I can remember my character name, I'd log in. But I can't remember my character name, so I can't log in now.
Ah, well. Yeah, no, that's a downside. I think a lot of people who have seen this and will be coming back don't realise their new login system requires you to enter one of your character names as part of the security. Because if it's not your account, you won't know what that character name is, in theory, even though you sniffed a password from somewhere or got it off a forum. That's the idea, I suppose. And I think it probably does add a...
I would have to talk to customer services, I guess.
Yeah, or just buy another box, start again.
Another load of boxes, but then I guess it's really cheap, right?
Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah.
So have you got a topic you'd like to...
Let's do your next one. I want to mock
you're stalling.
You.
Okay.
I just have half an hour on that one.
All right, well, we'll go with Pies Are Hard. Yes, this is my ill-fated trade skill experiment over the last couple of days. See, I play a lot of MMOs. I play a lot, and I potter in a lot of them. I'll do the group night thing. We'll do the big challenges, the tasks they set in front of you, the volumes, the chapters, the books, the missions, whatever. The dungeoneering and all that. But also I like to just potter around in my off time, you know, explore the world. And often the trade skills feature quite highly in that. I'm quite a crafter when I put my mind to it. All of my EverQuest 2 characters to date have had a trade skill level that's either equal to or greater than their adventure level, mainly because I just get bored of grinding on rats too easily and figure I might as well just play the mini game and make myself some interest. I've gone mad with the furniture making this Uh-oh. Time around. Yeah, well, I started off, this is my Inquisitor that I'm levelling up just to make it an available off healer, and I've gone a bit mad with the crafting. I start off with Sage, which makes my own skill ups, but because I'm probably one of the only people playing EQ2X on bronze and not silver, I can only use the journeyman scrolls there, but I can also make master scrolls and I can't use those.
You can sell them though.
I could, well, like, no, because I can't sell on the auction house either without broker tokens, etc., etc.
It's like they planned this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and also the adept books, which are a rank above journeyman, they tend to drop an awful lot from mobs. Most of my skills I've just upgraded from stuff that's come out of chests. So all in all, Sage, redundant profession for me. So I thought, well, what else would I want to be? Weapons, armor, etc., etc. Mostly craft skills that you will level up so that you can make one level appropriate item once ever that you'll use.
Yeah.
A sword. And then not need again.
Yes.
You'll level it up further so you can make the next sword that you personally need and then not use again as well. Yeah. Why bother leveling an entire crafting?
You're making 80 swords to just get the one you want.
Get the one you want that's the next level up. Exactly. Why level an entire craft profession when you only need one weapon, which you can probably find a decent drop out of a chest or whatever.
Bite off the auction house.
Well, again, bronze. They've opened it up so silver people can actually buy stuff from the auction house but not sell on it. Silver still need to use broker tokens.
When are you going to just buy something?
I'm not going to buy anything. It's an experiment. I'm doing research. I'm not going to crack. But
you're being bloody minded again.
I'm being bloody minded, absolutely. I'm just sort of sceptical as to whether their whole bronze package is playable and trying to find out the hard way if it
it's
is.
It's not meant to be playable.
I know it isn't meant to be, but it is turning out to be.
It's meant to require you to go to silver
anyway.
So that your credit card gets on record to make it a lot easier to do your second purchase.
Yes, yes. They've already got my credit card. It's all tied to your station account anyway, and I've been a past player of EverQuest too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so doing a lot of furniture, I thought, well, hell, let's just go with the carpenter profession, whose sole useful thing they can make are bank boxes, which aren't that heavy, actually, and I think I might start using as actual rucksacks. But I thought, no, well, I'll just go mad with the cosmetic furniture and really tart up my little three-player house thing there. So,
okay.
So I've been doing a lot of that, and that's been quite interesting, because the thing with the furniture is pretty much nothing you make has an intrinsic value. So all of it's subjective, which means all of the items that are available all the way up and down are valuable or not valuable to different people based on taste. So I thought, well, I'll go with that. So yeah, so and yeah, I found myself out leveling myself with trade over adventure again today, and I thought, oh god, there's something wrong with me.
There's definitely something wrong with you.
Yeah, but then I did this in all games, and I was thinking of Lotro, where my Hobbit guardian, who's soon to come out of retirement, is a cook and a farmer, and I really like the farming in there, and I don't know why. It's just standing there.
I quite liked
field.
It as well, but it was really boring, but relaxing.
It's
boring.
Really, yeah, exactly.
It's because the
I like it
the world is nice.
Yeah, he stood there in the Shire.
We're going to talk about world nice. That's my topic.
World is nice. All right. Yeah, stood there in the Shire, looking across the river in the moonlight with the windmill with the little lights on in all the houses on the hills and stuff, and you're just throwing seeds down and you know, working the good earth, and it's really good therapy. And so I'd take all this stuff and turn it into pies and things, and I was looking at all the crafting recipes in there, and I've often thought about actually trying to adapt some of them into real life, and I actually had a go at one.
Uh-oh.
Well, one of the very early, very low-tier...
Dragon steaks.
Not dragon, no, pie crust. It's one of the very first things you can make. It's a sub-ingredient used in pies, obviously.
Did you use the ingredients that it mentioned?
Yes.
Okay. What were the ingredients that it mentioned?
I think its recipes is 2 cups of flour, a scoop of lard, and a chicken's egg. To make a pie crust.
Right.
I thought, well, how hard can that be? But I also went away and looked at real recipes to try and get some idea of how do you make pies. Well, I thought, I like pies. I've eaten a lot of pies in my time. I'm no stranger to the products of Mr. Ginster Esquire. And I thought, well, what would it take to actually make something like that myself? And I thought, can I make a pasty or a pie or something for less than it costs in a petrol station?
Well, no, because you're going to start, the moment you go buy the ingredients, you're using better ingredients.
Oh, yeah. Stay at school.
You are not using rat, which has been mechanically reclaimed.
Economies of scale and so on. So I had a go at making a pie the other day.
Okay.
It went all right, sort of, kind of.
Was the recipe mostly the Lord of the Rings recipe?
Well, not really, no. I mean, I used it was essentially the same sort of thing. So to make pastry, don't take this as a real recipe, people. You'll be gravely disappointed if you try it at home. You use an unspecified and that'll do amount of flour in the bowl to begin with. Then you use half of that, I think a quarter of that amount of flour by weight of lard.
Yeah.
And a quarter of that amount of...
This is not vegetarian pastry.
No. And I think I used stalk cooking margarine. I think I should have used butter. I can't remember. But so
it's not margarine.
Well, your ratio.
You can't buy margarine now.
Your ratio. You use twice as much flour as fat, and half of the fat is lard and half of the fat is margarine. That's what I did. So bunged all that in a bowl and you mix it together. You're supposed to manipulate it and rub it all in until you
have water,
fine breadcrumbs. No, the water comes later. Pinch of salt in the top as well, stir it all in, then mix the fat together until you've got a fine breadcrumb consistency, which I didn't bother waiting for.
So what you're saying,
I ended up with
a massive
dough blob.
You may have
right.
had an air issue.
I don't know. It all went peculiar. Okay, so once done that, a bit of water, and I added a bit of water, all the different people were saying, and that made it just go really gooey and sort of quite sticky. And then onto the work surface. I bought a rolling pin especially. Everyone was looking at me suspiciously at work for that.
Yes.
Roll it flat, put it in the pie tin, and it didn't fit. And also, so since I started rolling it started going all sticky and tearing, and it wouldn't come off the rolling pin or the table. Yeah, I did, and I kept.
You had too much flour.
I was adding so much flour to stop it going sticky that it went very peculiar in the end. So then into the tin, dabbed it all around, and of course at the same time I was cooking a rather good beef and ale filling. See, the trouble is that while I was cooking that made the kitchen so terrifically hot that the pastry went all a bit peculiar. So I think the lesson I learned there is do the pastry separately.
You know,
probably in a different house on
how
a different
day.
How
do you meant to leave the pastry to set overnight?
You put it in the fridge for 15 minutes, apparently. Yeah. Well, that may not be right, though. So, yeah, the beef and ale, that was good. Stewing steak, onions, just cook it down for a bit. Half a bottle of Old Peculiar.
Okay.
Old French hen, well, whichever. Old speckled hen.
That's actually nice.
Yeah, put half a bottle of that in.
Oh, I've got something in my car.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how that.
Tin of chopped tomatoes. For the hell of it, and a garlic clove as well.
Yeah.
It actually worked quite well. But the trouble is that everyone was saying that you have to cook the stewing steak for about 2 hours. So that boiled down to an almost sort of gravel-like consistency, containing almost no moisture at all.
Yeah.
So I had to keep adding water to it, and that kept evaporating.
Boil or simmer?
I sort of triple distilled it in the end, kind of. I think I was simmering it.
Yeah, I'm always suspicious that people always cook steak too much.
Well, stewing steak's supposed to be the tough old stuff that you meant to...
Yeah, but even
boil
so,
for hours.
You can cook it until it just becomes mush. You've got to get it to a nice, so it's still got a bit of consistency.
Oxo cube as well, just to bring out the beefiness, because I put too much tin tomato in it and it started tasting like bolognese. And then that all goes in the bottom pie thing with all the pastry, and then a pie lid that I'd made a right old hash up trying to get on top of it, because it was I don't know, my pastry sort of became very gravelly. That's not the right word. It was very, I think, because so much lard was in it, it became quite brittle. It would snap at the slightest provocation. So the lid more or less covered the thing, and I did all the thumbs. I had to keep, didn't have enough to cover the actual pie. I just ended up with a circle in the middle. So I had to make a whole load, another batch of pastry, wedge that in around the side, and then it all got a bit complicated. And I thought, oh, that looks more or less pie-like. I even cut a little thing in the centre just to make it cook all right properly. I put that in the fridge, and I thought, right, I shall have that for my tea tomorrow. And I cooked that, got home the next day, cooked that for 40 minutes, and I think the pastry could better be described as a kind of savoury shortbread biscuit with a sort of double biscuit with a meat filling. I think I've invented some new kind of biscuit, really, rather than a pie. It was all very, very thick. It all just went wrong, basically. So I've just decided that pies are hard, and that MMOs, in particular Lord of the Rings, is the particularly egregious culprit here, are not teaching me proper cooking skills.
I would like to add to this Fable 3, okay, which has pie making as a job.
Okay.
And when you're doing pie making, yes, all you're doing is watching a bar go across a screen, and as it goes past different coloured square blocks, you hit that button.
Right.
So it's blue, green, 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 blue, green.
Yes.
Much like a music game.
Right.
And apparently that's how you make pies. So I'm quite shocked that you managed to balls it up.
Maybe I was missing a couple of telegraphed colour button presses at the right moments there. So yes, I wasn't expecting my first pie to be a huge success, but I'm probably going to be buying Ginsters from a garage for quite some time.
You can buy pastry ready-made, don't you?
I don't think I'd be trusted with that, even though.
You've got to make another one now.
I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying it. See, my real ambition was
to turn the show into a cookery show?
Turn the show into a cookery show. No, there's the one in Lotro, stuffed cabbage.
Oh, yes.
I was raving about those at the time, and I kept giving them to everyone, and yes, everyone got really annoyed about
and
it.
And we were discussing out of the game about how we were going to hollow out a cabbage.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the recipe from what I can gather there, it appears to be some kind of coleslaw mixed with pork, cooked pork chopped up in and then stuffed inside a hollowed cabbage. So I don't
know. Maybe use worms to eat out the inside of the cabbage.
Lovely. I don't think that's the way forward, but that's probably where we're going next with this whole thing. But I'm going to keep trying the pastry because I want to prove that I'm better than the developers at Turbine at making pies. I think that was my point. I don't know if I had a point there. But
we're
going
to have to start filming this.
My whole pie experience just deeply moved me, to be honest.
And yes.
Yes, I should have stuck with pasties because you don't need to worry about tins then. Yeah. So, did you have a topic, something about Worlds Nice?
Yes,
something?
Nice Worlds.
Nice Worlds.
This again comes out of Fable.
Okay.
Because I've been playing an awful lot of Fable recently.
Yes.
Actually, I've played one day of Fable and now I've completed it.
Look out for what we're playing in more depth.
While I was playing Fable, something struck me about the world. You've played Fable 2.
I play Fable 2.
Have you played Fable 1?
Yes, I have.
Now, there's something about the world of Albion, isn't there?
It's very stylized.
Yeah.
Very oversaturated in terms of colour terms. It's all very, very coloured, brightly coloured sort of place. Very bucolic. Is that a proper word? It means rustic, doesn't it? Ideal countryside-y sort of thing.
Fable 3, not really.
No. Oh, I haven't. Yeah.
Industrial Revolution and all that.
Yeah. But yes, I think I'll go. Yeah.
Well, the thing that struck me, and it's been something nagging in the back of my brain for the last two games, but for this game, it really did come home. The world, when I go into it, lacks all of that testosterone, must achieve stuff, must do brilliant stuff.
Oh, we're talking the real is brown phenomenon, as they call it on TV tropes.
I'm not so sure it's the real is brown phenomenon. Mm. I think it's more just how you go into something like Uncharted, and it's action-packed, bang, 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 pushing you through.
So more narrative pacing, I suppose, there.
Yeah, it's just something about the world which feels non-threatening, inviting even.
Yeah, well, it's a sort of you're allowed to go off the beaten track and potter about a bit, the world can wait to be saved sort of thing, maybe.
Yeah. And Lotro is the same thing. I'll go in there and enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the world.
Yeah, like the farming example, yeah.
But whereas, EverQuest 2, we both played it. I haven't played it since around launch.
I'm right at the moment.
That's not a world that I want to go and spend time in.
it sort of comes and goes with me. I can understand what you're saying entirely, but there are places in there that I do like to just stand there and look about from.
It doesn't feel homely.
I suppose, yeah.
And Warcraft,
depends how much you invest in it.
Yeah,
though.
Warcraft never felt like that for me, mainly because I just don't like Blizzard plots.
I don't know. This style, well, obviously the stylized thing is a deliberate thing, and it works well for them in many ways. But it does create a kind of very, I don't know, sort of plasticky falseness to their world.
Yeah,
it's not a sort of place you can imagine getting on with its own things. It is an adventure theme park, which is fine. You know, and it serves it well.
And if we take, say, Warhammer,
mm-hmm.
that is a world which I really don't want to spend any time in because it's just a not very hospitable world.
I don't know.
You don't really want to go off the beaten track that much. At least I never wanted to.
In Warhammer, I'm finding that it's all quite fraught and driven. I'm always on my way to get on with something important quickly, all the time I'm playing it, because pretty much every outpost you visit, there's like a house is on fire in the background, and there's people running, there's little NPCs running around with swords and things, and it does create a very good a sort of very good world in which a war is. They say war is everywhere, is the big tagline. And
which
is, you see that in the world design, because you're just running around the place, and everywhere there's people pillaging other people, and houses on fire, and towers being crumbled, and all sorts.
But that's one of their stated design goals, and they've done it really well. It's not a tranquil place to spend a while resting.
I just want
to pop in and have a little
do a bit of fishing.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I have had moments in Warcraft where I've just sat there fishing and enjoyed.
Oh yeah, and the people who like the world feel that way about Warcraft, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now, is it that to be popular, an MMO needs to make you feel like this?
I think it comes down to the theme park versus the sandbox. It's very fundamental in the design. If you want people to just be in that world, then it needs to be more encompassing and more elaborate than a linear valley with the boss at the far end, you know. Mm. I mean, almost the exact opposite of a dungeon crawl.
But
a wooded forest, or, you know, nice plains with fields and windmills on, whatever.
Too many MMOs give you just the single path to follow anymore.
Mm. Typically what you find a lot of MMOs, they have a lot of different starts that all lead to the same place.
Well, that's just because they run out of time to do content.
Yeah,
it all
funnels into the same. I mean, recent experiences in EverQuest 2, I've just done the Gorowin starter storyline, and that's great up to level 20, and then it dumps you in Butcher Block, where everyone else gets dumped at level 20. Only you've got this sort of oversight pretext of, we must pretend to fit in with the natives, it will further our plan, and then off you go and do all of the helping that the good people do for the next 10 levels.
Well, if you're being good just to fit in.
Well,
it might be really good
and evil, actually, as that character. Because I picked evil mostly because I wanted a different starter area rather than any kind of, you know, philosophical bent. But I was sort of thinking, as I was going through doing all these quests, most of which involve helping people, you know, in exactly the same way a good character would be given stuff to do. And I was thinking, how do I justify all this? I should be burning this stuff to the ground and pillaging. But no, I'm helping these people with their trivial problems, just like all the good adventurers do. And I thought, well, no, it's more about enlightened self-interest, really. If I do this thing, I will be given a reward, and that will improve my situation and standing.
So what you're basically saying is every
single... All adventurers are evil, yes.
Yeah.
Effectively. Well, who does a quest where there is no reward? Do they get off? Do you even find quests with no reward? No XP, no cash, no item.
I'm failing to remember a single case where
that's
happened.
I've never seen a quest where you just get to do the thing for a sense of personal satisfaction. I'm helping these people. No reward is needed.
Well,
often in single-player RPGs, you'll get a dialogue option of, no, I don't need your reward, which will improve your karma score. But
yeah.
That's about
that's
it.
That's just the fumbling way that karma's handled in those games.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good concept, really, because it goes down to your whole lack of any way to influence the world.
Mm, yeah.
You are just a cog in a machine of cogs doing missions which will just come round again the moment the cog rotates.
I don't know. I'm quite grateful for worlds that you can make no impact on, because I've seen Second Life at its best and its worst. And, you know, if you let people... If you imagine, say, World of Warcraft, you let people just put anything, objects, wherever they like, you know. I mean, it's... that people are so driven to do this kind of stuff that you'll find gold websites spelled out in dead bodies in the capital, because that's the only physical thing they can change about the world.
That's why
it'd be a nightmare.
WoW
if
has been playing with the rather brilliant idea of making the changes to the world just happen to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is brilliant. You do this mission.
Yeah, the cataclysm stuff.
Yeah, you save stuff. So if say you've got a it's a completely hypothetical example. Mm. You've got a castle to save.
Yeah.
You can either save it or not save it. And it'd be quite good if you could fail, because you can't actually fail quests in many games.
Which would increase this sense of being in a world that you're enjoying the presence of, because you're starting to make an impact on
yeah.
it. Yeah. But at the same time, it adds confusion, because people in the group with you probably aren't even seeing the same stuff you
are. Oh, no. No one will be seeing the
they
same
call
thing.
They phasing, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you limit it to purely cosmetic... Mm. Then it gives you
at least a minor confusion, which willing suspension of disbelief can easily cope yeah. with. Yeah, I mean, Lotro does it. I mean, and EQ too, in small ways. Little ground spawn objectives that you need to pick up.
Yeah,
they will disappear when you pick them up. You won't see them again, but they're still there because other people can pick them up.
Yeah.
They've just made them invisible to you.
And
so, yeah,
Star Trek tries to make. It sounds like you've had an effect on the world by having the NPCs talk about you as you walk past.
Yeah,
which
NPC
I'm sure
speech,
other games
I'm sure is client side specific in
yeah.
some of these games, because I'm sure people NPCs in Lotro do that as well. They sort of call out things that only really make sense to you. So
yeah.
is everyone else seeing that?
Well,
I don't know.
Going back to Fable 3, I've just come off the back of a big game which mm-hmm. is all about the consequences of your action.
Right.
The first three quarters of the game, possibly more, are you running around trying to set up a revolution,
mm-hmm.
Promising things, being the person you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's purely the being the person you want to be. And then you become... this is no spoiler. Become king. I think even the advert probably tells you that.
Mm.
After you're king, you have to then do the actions for the kingdom, and you have to come to your own decision as to how well you balance your interests and your promises
setting
against
up
what
your
needs
own
to be done.
Log, in a way.
Sort of. Well, not really.
Ah.
It comes down to just a series of decisions. This is the consequences of you sticking to this promise, and there's this overriding something that's going to happen in a year. So you've got a year of rule, and you have to make decisions to... what are you going to sacrifice to do this goal? Are you going to be good or going to be evil? Are you going to be a tyrant or are you going to be a savior? And it really does give you a feel that, you know, you've had actions just getting to the point where you've been ruling. The questing you were doing has had repercussions, and then the repercussions come trying to deliver through on your promises. And it's possible to keep every promise, but some of them may not be in the best interest of the kingdom.
Oh, it doesn't sound like I'll enjoy that much at all. I often rewind to save points or restart games if I feel I've done the NPCs a disservice. if I've picked the wrong choice and the consequences have gone uncomfortable, I tend to get quite agitated by it all. So.
You're quite going to like the decision because...
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Oh, no. Now this random imaginary pixels are unhappy at me. Oh.
Without spoiling the decision, which would be a complete... evil thing for me to do. Both choices you get are good things. You either
fair
do
enough.
Good thing for this one or good thing for this one, because bad things will happen to either.
Fair enough.
Or you can counter that. But yeah, so would it be possible to in Star Trek again, Lotro as well, have this overriding, constantly being added to plot, riding through the game?
Yeah,
Star Trek with its episodes, Lotro with its legendary storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be the places where you would put in the universe-changing, world-changing events.
Yeah, yeah. But then how to then make it work with multiple viewpoints in a persistent shared world? That's always the problem.
Well, okay, let's take Lotro. We know the story of Lotro.
Yes.
We know what happens to all of the major points, and it's just the fuzzy bits around the edge, which we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they're willing to deviate from the books?
I don't think they'd even be allowed to. You'd hear the screaming. Mm.
What if you were given the choice to sack Isengard or not sack Isengard?
Yeah.
Because you could use the resources for whatever, helping the forces of good or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, is killing that many orcs actually a evil act? It'd be interesting if you could take a world, and yeah, it would be different for each person because it would have to phase it for each person's decisions.
Yeah, yeah. The problem comes with groups then. I mean, that sort of implies a solo kind of gameplay, because the world itself is excluding you from other players. on the basis of what's happened to it.
Well, no, you don't change what actually happens physically. Isengard sacked or not sacked. Mm. No, the not sacked would leave it in a position where it has been defeated.
Mm. Yeah.
Somehow.
Mm.
Without being destroyed.
It makes it difficult, I think. But, I mean, I wonder how many people are that desperate to make their own personal mark on these MMO worlds, or whether they're along for the ride. That's the other thing.
Well, it's the feeling that it's the difference in RPGs to what we laughably call massively multiplayer role-playing game, where we don't role-play anymore, we don't build our characters, we follow a rail line of what the character does.
Mm.
We follow a set story.
It's the theme park versus the sandbox. We sort of sign up for a go on the roller coaster. We're not expecting to take the wheel halfway through a journey on a roller coaster, and we get to the end and having had our expectations more or less fulfilled. As entertainment, that works.
We have zero character development. Although it could be said in LOTRO there is some character development in the fact that you are just doing stuff and gaining reputation with people.
I suppose. If that's then reflected in the world by dialogue options and whatever, what they say to you as you go past.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have that little automated acknowledgement of having defeated a particular foe, but it doesn't mean an awful lot generally.
But the deviations we get off this whole having an effect on the world is very, very small in an MMO, whereas in something
I think by necessity. This is something that Garriott tried in Tabula Rasa. Many, many quests in there had two different options you could play it out with, but they both ended up with exactly the same item reward and XP and no knock-on consequences for further quest chains or anything. You could cover for the guy or shop the guy to his superior, and either way all that changed
next time
you
walk by, the guy would still be there.
Neither of those options would have had a lasting effect, and you'd be on to the next thing.
So do we actually need any consequences for our actions? Would actually bring anything to the game?
I think consequences for actions work best in a single player experience, because there's something that, well, for starters, you're going to need consensus in a group for a difficult moral choice, that kind of thing. We see that now, and very minor instances of that in Guild Wars, where through the story of factions and Nightfall, you get to make important choice that will send you off onto different missions and stuff, and you'd rejoin the main plot further down the line. If you've got two different people who've picked the different choice, you end up not even being able to group together to get some of this stuff done. It gets very awkward and complicated. You need to finish so-and-so's mission before it let you into this mission.
It breaks our primary rule of never get in the way of people, of friends playing together.
Don't split the team, which people might have to do if they're going to individually make difficult choices that have impact on the world.
And some week we're going to have to go through and come up with a bill of rights for people who want to play like we play, so games have to do
excellent idea. Some sort of constitution.
Yes.
Some demands.
Yeah, demands to developers to make sure they're on the right track, so we're going to talk well of them.
Okay, we'll get right on that.
Anyway, yes. Mm. So,
should we do the Twitter question?
Right, okay. freshly upgraded iPad.
I did a very last minute Twitter question this week. And it was me.
Actually you, yes, because I was ill.
Yes, you were ill. So,
yeah.
It's been the week when we all get rather confused about what time it is.
No, only we get confused about what time it is. Americans get confused next week about what time it is.
In the UK, we're changing from British summer time, because it's, only just finished being summer, to winter, which is GMT or
UTC.
UTC or whatever they call it.
Yes.
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, I know.
The finest time in the world.
Yeah.
Yes, we export it all over the world. So I asked, what would you do with an extra hour? Or what did you do with an extra hour if you were in the
Play
UK?
Play Fable 3.
So what did we get?
I went to bed at 4 and not 5.
Also, I gave the question went out about 5 hours before the show was recorded as well, rather than the customary Friday. So what do we get?
Rhea X says, sleep. Damn Gibbs waking up at 5:30 on my day off. Just sleep out an extra hour away from the little monsters.
I saw a number of unrelated tweets about people saying how the children's clocks didn't get set back properly.
Gothwalk, this year I slept. Most years since the time change falls at Galecon, I game and drink.
Ah, some sort of Irish gaming convention thing?
Hmm. Which he was there last week, I believe, or the week before. But it was quite recently.
Excellent.
Telki. Probably, sadly, Minecraft.
Minecraft, hey.
Joe Hart. I played Minecraft and drank coffee, reveling in the awe-inspiring mundanity of it all.
Now, the Minecraft, I must make this new update must be fantastic. I'm going to have a look.
And I will, because you didn't ask for it this week, I will plug Jovial Gamer on YouTube.
Excellent.
Which is his video. Arbitrary Genius, hit from the cats, they didn't notice I was awake. You have a weird life.
Driven by cats.
Yeah. Terratastic. I got up and played with delightful little pussy. And maybe some computer gaming. Yeah, he's also got cats. He's looking after his girlfriend's kitten, I believe.
Right.
Cat,
he's not the first go-to choice I'd pick for the care of a small animal.
There was one frantic call. Are there any of the pet shops around you got the cats of the... Only joking.
Not really.
Mog dog blog. Yep. Last minute.
Yep. Blogging.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You should try that.
I might try that one day.
Geddens, I partied far too hard on Friday, so used the hour of sleep to catch up on sleep.
Excellent.
Ackley, I worked. We played cards. We always do that at night, but last night we did it for an extra hour. If you work nights, do you actually have to...
Well, you're probably not allowed to sleep. No.
Well, no,
if
you work, nights and you get an extra hour of the night, do you have to work an extra hour? And if so, do you get paid the extra hour? I've never considered
it before. I'd hope so.
Oh, I still would.
Extra hour you've worked.
Xbevis X, more sleep. Asgar, sleep. That's a boring.
That's a lot of sleeping going
Dr.
on.
Dr. Dorag, extra hour. I spent it trying to get my Eve client to not crash. An hour well spent, I'd say. Sadly, it didn't work.
Always having trouble, yeah. Some unknown weirdness that's stopping him playing Eve at the moment.
BC Animus, with an extra hour, I'd listen to the Van Heblock podcast twice and pretend I'm experiencing a bung in the matrix.
Oh, God, don't do Suck that. You'll hemorrhage.
Cosimo, I'd spend it reading Sig Trent's request to build a better... to get a build thread. To build, get a build thread. What?
Hey, what?
Request to build, get a build... Oh, it's DDO.
DDO builds.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Okay. What to do with your enhancement points and such like. I've never known.
Kuznik 2000 says sleep. It's an awful lot of sleeping. Just in the middle of the night, people. Are you not gaming?
I was kind of guessing what most of the answers would be, but yeah. Some interesting alternates.
And also Copperbird just posted a really quite cute pumpkin Dalek.
Excellent.
Yes.
So, any other business?
Any other business?
I haven't got any, really.
I will say it again, because I said it on the last show. Follow me on PlayStation. Senyak.
He wants some PlayStation
PlayStation friends. I've only got Xbox friends.
What did you learn this week?
I learned that Fable is damn good.
And I learnt that I have much to learn about pie making.
You didn't have any potato in your pie.
It'll take more than potato to fix that one. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.